This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I am the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer and the heart of Giants Nation, Chris Bisignano. Chris, before we get started, our sponsor, the Media Captain, records a weekly podcast. Giant fans, after you get your Giants fix by listening to us, if you want to learn more about entrepreneurship and what it takes to start a business, along with the latest and greatest online and digital trends, check out the Media Captain's podcast on Apple iTunes and all the major podcast outlets. Again, that's the Media Captain podcast. Buddy, the mini camp is over. What are your overall thoughts, my friend?
Yeah, I tell you what, the impressive offseason start of Daniel Jones continues, Jerry.
Yeah.
The kid, you know, watching him the other day, first of all, I don't know where this he doesn't have an arm came from. You know, I know it came from scouts and the experts and this and that.
Yeah,
that was
the narrative coming out of college. And be honest, bud, that's what I was afraid of. It
me
all,
too.
That's all I had heard.
Yeah. There's a couple. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, but you watch the video clips of him. I mean, you saw him the whole time. But
oh, man.
You watch these clips of him. You're like, this kid has a good arm.
Yeah, yeah. I know what's really impressive about him is that he has a nice touch on these long balls.
Yeah.
Especially sideline routes. He throws it on the right. You know, I was putting it on Twitter a few times. He'll hit receivers on his sideline routes with pretty good accuracy. He puts it on their right shoulder, like their outer shoulder.
Yeah.
You know? And the kid, I tell you, Jerry, you know, there's a couple things going out there. One was Jones doesn't have a strong enough arm. That is not true.
Yeah.
Okay. And two, Eli Manning's arm is like a noodle.
Yeah, that was I've heard that. I saw it on Twitter a bit.
Right.
And I also heard it from a friend who said somebody else was there. And it was funny. I talked to him today and I'm like, listen, Chris is pretty, you know, he's pretty confident in the fact that Manning still has a strong arm.
Yeah. Listen, it's not 2007 arm, Jerry.
Right.
But it's still pretty good. He still has pretty good zip, you know, in his arm. There's no question about it. Now, you know, when you're this long in the league, what is this going to be, his 16th year, Eli, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you start losing some zip as November comes along? Yeah, I think we saw a little bit of that at times last year, all right? But right now, I mean, you know, there's a narrative going around out there about Eli can't make throws anymore. You know, he doesn't show the zip. He's got like I even read this, a noodle arm, you know?
Yeah.
Not true at all, man. He's still got zip. And listen, I like to put the Giants.com, some of their footage on, because a lot of people read the tweets from me at the practices saying, oh, Eli hit this guy, beautiful throw, beautiful seam, a lot of zip. And you know what? That's why I put it on. Hey, if you don't want to believe me, here it is right here. You saw some of those nice throws he was making, right?
I thought the most impressive one that I saw was the zip to the out pass to Golden Tate. I mean, that was an absolute bullet. And that was looked like a 30-yard pass on an out pattern. So
Yeah. And you know what? You saw that with Daniel Jones outside the numbers, 25 yards down the field, you know, with the NFL-type zip that you need to complete a pass.
Get you so excited about him, man. I can't believe how pumped I am about this kid now. I mean, I know I'm schizophrenic.
You should be.
But
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
you should
I don't want to tell everybody what you told me before, because it's just, it's like you captured it. Like when we talked earlier today and we were kind of shooting the breeze and you said, Jerry, I think we're all going to eat crow. For those of us who didn't want Daniel Jones. And I was like, Chris, thank you, buddy. You made the rest of June for me.
Listen, it's early in a ball game. I understand that.
Right.
But it's a very impressive offseason
yep.
for this kid. And now we'll see next month, the next step and his development will be mini training camp. Actually, there's four OTAs next week, but we're going to look beyond that a little bit.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the next step as far as training camp at the end of July.
Yeah.
Betcha will be showing him a lot of things in these practices in the training camp. I will say, you know, the kid seems to make one mistake, Jerry, and then he seems to A, shrug it off.
Good.
And B, not make the same mistake twice. And I'm looking at these practices and I'm saying to myself, am I seeing, you know, maybe I'm not seeing this. And then when you see Coach Shermer come out in a presser after the practice and say the same thing, yeah, it doesn't seem to make the same. I say, okay, maybe I'm not losing it. You know what I mean? Sometimes right. I really think I overthink things.
Right.
Watching these practices, you know, so intently. And then Shermer goes out and he says, yeah, this kid doesn't really make the same mistake twice. So that's a positive sign for the Giants, Jerry, that, you know, they invested so much in this young man, number six overall, caught so much heat.
Yeah.
That let's see, you know, one thing me and you talked about, you know, we weren't happy with the pick. We said it numerous times, but
pretty evident.
It was, let's see what happens.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Can't just say, oh, the kid's a failure. He stinks. That's it. He's never going to make it. I mean, that's asinine.
Yeah.
So now let's see what we're starting to see.
Yeah, I think the next day it was, all right, here's the pick. Let's go with it. Let's see what he's got. And I hope they're right. And we both said, we hope, you know, we're the ones at the end that look stupid. I'll take it. You know, I've looked dumb before. I wanted Ron Dane over Sean Alexander. You know, there's a number of draft picks that I got wrong, and I'm fine with it. I only talk about the ones I got right, right? But there are a ton that I got
Jerry,
wrong. So.
Jerry, another kid that I talked about in the first OTAs was Darius Slayton.
Yeah.
What I say, I said, hey, listen, Jerry, this kid is a burner.
Yeah.
But he drops the ball.
Yep.
And he's not going to be on a 45 on a Sunday afternoon if he can't catch the ball. Right?
Yep.
Well, guess what, bud? Minicamp, I was there. He didn't put one ball on the ground. I mean, now, does that mean he's not going to drop balls if he drops? Of course not. That's his Achilles heel. The kid does drop some balls. But I have seen, you know, receivers coming to the NFL from college with that same issue, work on their game, and it did not become an issue down the road. Okay? That's what you got to hope for, because I'll tell you what, Jerry. I'll tell you what. Matter of fact, he was like the number one star coming out of this mini camp. He was one of them. Slayton.
Yeah, right.
The kid didn't have to – his route tree in Auburn was very limited, Jerry.
Yeah.
It was about two or three. Yeah. So he did some smoke screens and because of his speed.
Yep.
He did a lot of goes, you know, a lot of deep posts. That was his act in Auburn. That's what they asked for, Jerry. That's what they asked.
Yep.
Not here. This is the NFL now, right? This isn't Ronaldo Nehemiah being signed by the 49ers and saying, okay, just one straight 80 yards. We'll throw it to Montana. I'll try to throw you the ball.
The James Jett pattern.
Right. Remember the old James? You're right. Yeah. Well, Al Davis loved that, right? The old James Jett.
Go down straight.
Just run as fast as you could, right?
Yeah, right.
Back in the day, it was a guy called Cliff Branch with the Raiders, you know?
Yeah.
Where the snake used to just, okay, just run as fast as you could. I'll try to launch it. Anyway, point being, that doesn't fly in today's NFL. We just run straight down the field, okay?
Yep.
Because now the defensive backs run as fast as you, okay?
Yeah.
So the route tree in this young man, Jerry, has expanded. You know, you see him doing some intermediate routes now, quick slants, a little nine route. He's doing a quick seven route. You know, Jerry, he took a quick slant in a mini camp the other day. I forget which day it was. I think it was day two. Anyway, he took a quick slant. Tony Lippett, the veteran, was covering him, and he was about 2 yards off him, Lippett, and he did a quick slant, Slayton. And Lippett couldn't close the gap on him, couldn't close the angle on him. And it wasn't Curtis Riley in disguise out there. It was Tony Lippett. Trust me, it was Tony Lippett.
Yeah.
And you could see the speed, Jerry, where he gets an opening on a slant, on a corner, or if a safety's up in a box and there's no safety back there, bud.
Yep.
He's gone. You thought Odell was gone when he used to catch those quick slants and go. This kid is gone. This kid's faster than Odell. This kid is gone. So he is very intriguing. We've talked about this before, how intriguing this draft pick is, and he really showed something in this minicamp.
I mean, I know it's early, and I'm trying not to be a buffoon, dude, but
you're pumped?
I know it's shorts, and I know it's not hitting.
Right.
But man, these draft picks. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and then I just saw the still of Corey Ballantyne where he looked like he had a 95-inch vertical. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, these guys are athletic. And your tweets about DeAndre Baker and Beal and Julian Love and Dexter Lawrence. Good God, man. Yeah. I think we thought that he had a good draft last year. We always said it. You know, Saquon, all right, no brainer. Will Hernandez, okay, no brainer because he was still there and they got him, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, Will Hernandez was projected to be as high as a 15 or 20 pick. Mm-hmm. So you could even say, you know what, no brainer there. But B.J. Hill, Lorenzo Carter, I mean, that draft I kept saying is an A-, and that's because of Lauletta not really doing anything. We still don't know what we have in McIntosh. But this year, man, you know, obviously it's all going to come down to what Jones ends up being. But, early on it looks good. But the rest of these picks, man, you got to be excited about this right now. It's going to be a fun team to watch at least.
Yeah, and you know what, Jerry? This year the draft this year it's going to come down to the other draft picks, not Jones. We're not really expecting Indiana Jones this year, right?
Right, right.
The Bakers and the Lawrences and all those kids, right? You're looking for some production for them, right?
Yeah.
You know what, Jerry? Here's another thing too, man. I was talking to Mike Thomas, you know, about these kids, you know, Mike, the veteran safety, right? I talked to Shep, Sterling Shepard.
Yep.
And I said, first I got Shep and I was like, Shep, you know, what's the story, you know, with this Slayton kid? What's the story with these rookies you're going to get? What's the story? You know, and he's like, yo, these kids, man, all they want to do is learn.
Yeah.
He goes, they're in there and they're asking questions. You talk to Mike Thomas now, this is Mike's sixth year in the league, right?
Yep.
And I said to Mike, Mike, those kids on the back end with you. I said, you know, what's the story, man? Are these kids the real deal? Are they here to, you know? And he was like, Baker is a student of the game.
Nice.
Love, balance. He goes, all they do is sit there. Hey, Mike, what about this? What about this? Don't forget, you got Janoris Jenkins, a veteran too, right?
Yeah.
And Jack Rout, what are we doing here? And they sit there and they want to learn and they want to get better and they shut up, right? They shut up.
Yeah.
Not just come in as some wild, you know, cowboy rookie. They shut up and they learn.
Yep.
And okay, so a lot of times you get that at other players. You ask, you know, I ask a ton of guys, hey, what about this guy? And they always go, oh, Betcher comes out. Betcher says the same thing. He goes, we got a bunch of kids here that are all in. They're in the classroom. They love being in there. Jerry, that's key, bud.
Yeah.
That is huge, you know? So besides the draft class, last year Gettleman had, he also was drafting kids, guys that are all in. The B.J. Hills, you know, the kids like that last year, the Saquon Barkleys.
Yeah.
These guys are all about football. Jerry, trust me on this. I'm around these guys.
Yep. I don't doubt it.
These guys are all about football.
And again, man, I love that we're that team right now. It's just football. There's nothing else going
on. It's just football. And DeAndre Baker, Jerry, you're going to love this kid because this kid's got a nasty chip. A nasty chip.
Yeah.
On his shoulder. Not a bad chip like, oh, look at me, I'm the greatest.
You want your corner having that. I don't care.
Right. A chip like, I can't wait to put, you know, to get my hands on you. And stick to you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to show you what's up. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, listen, a good off season so far. Doesn't start to next month. We know that. Doesn't start to September. We know that. But so far, very promising signs, Jerry.
Nice. My dog, Taylor, just gave me a visit. She's jumping around me in the bedroom.
Is that the stupid one?
Well, she's a little challenged. Yeah, a little bit.
You backed up on a stupid.
I backed up a bit, yeah. But she's
you caught a lot of heat for that.
Clearly happy. Named after Lawrence Taylor, by the way, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, I'm psyched about this this off season. These guys, my dog's jumping on me right now. This is hilarious.
Excited. She's excited too.
She's excited too. It's a good sign. Yeah, and usually someone would come get her right now, but she's and there she goes. We talk about it all the time. The cornerbacks, the defensive backs, we're obviously excited about the, and now everyone's kind of getting excited about the pass rush, like Marcus Golden. And, again, I don't know how much he's played yet, but that the pass rush is going to be improved this year.
I think it's going to be improved I think you're going to get contributions from a lot of people. Lorenzo Carter, watch for him. See, now, James Betcher brought out a good point the other day talking about Carter. Last year, he rushed the quarterback. Yeah, I forgot how many sacks he wound up with, right?
I think it was four. I think B.J. Hill had five and a half. Right? I think Carter had four.
But he brings up the point of he just rushed the quarterback last year. He had no plan. Okay?
Yep.
This year, Betcher talked about how Carter is rushing off the edge with a plan now. You see, Jerry, so many of these kids, when they're in college, like a Carter, Dominic kids, whatever, they're going against kids, tackles, tight ends, left tackle, right tackle, what it might be, that aren't going to be playing on Sundays a year later.
Right.
All right? So they get away with a lot of athletic ability because the guys they're going against are not that good.
Yeah.
Now, when you come to this league, every tackle is good. And that includes Shad Wheeler. So, okay, I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Maybe not Eric Flowers, but mostly every tackle.
Before we forget.
For the Redskins. Okay. So everybody's good in this league, Jerry. So you can't just go, okay, I'm gonna do this one move off the edge. I'll get to the quarterback. No, that's not the way it works in this league.
Yep.
When you rush the quarterback in this league, you have to have a plan.
Yeah.
Emphasized that the other day. This year, he says Carter already has. He's learned, and Carter actually said this too. I remember he said this to me a few times last year. He goes, I just rely on my ability, you know? He goes, half the times, I'm not even sure what I'm going to do out there. And he admitted that, Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah.
This year, he has seems to have a set plan, what he wants to do when he's lined up on an edge on a third and six.
Yeah.
And he's coming. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Big difference, Jerry. That's a big difference in this league. So I tell you, he's so athletic, bud. I expect big things out of him.
So we got about 3 minutes before we get to the Twitter questions, and I wanted to cover that. You touched on it already. The Redskins left tackle, how serious do you take that, one? And two, more importantly, could they really line up Eric Flowers as the starting left tackle this year?
Well, one, Trent Williams is pretty pissed at this organization.
Yeah.
Now, what?
I thought everybody was always pissed at the Giants. I didn't know other organizations.
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, Jerry, other organizations have problems with their players.
Cool. Good to know.
Yeah, I thought it was just the Giants, too, but yeah. Obviously, I guess it's not.
Right.
So he's pretty pissed off right now because he feels they messed up his medical. He had a medical issue. We had a growth on his head or some scalp, and whatever happened there, he wasn't happy with them.
Yeah.
Wasn't happy with their team of doctors in Washington. Now, what solves that? A little more money, I'm sure. Okay?
Right. But there's one thing that can keep a player mad at an organization is when they screw up medically. That's
their future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know why? Because that's going to cost them millions if they can't play anymore.
That's right.
And it's their pride. This is their job, Jerry. These guys have families, man.
Yeah.
So he's pretty pissed off. We'll see how far that goes. But right now, yes, Eric Flowers is lined up a left tackle. They have nobody else. Oh, Eric Flowers is their left tackle right now.
Oh, that's so great.
So if you want to, you know, stunt the growth of a young man like Dwayne Haskins, that's the perfect way of doing it.
Perfect. This could play out beautifully. Mm-hmm. The other thing, that team across the river, they gave their quarterback 4 years, $128 million and 107 of it guaranteed.
Something like that.
Now, the Eagle fans on Twitter were happy. The radio station, WIP, you know, you have to know your enemies as well as you know your team.
Right.
You listen to them, and they're kind of skeptical about it. The specter of Nick Foles will be there until Carson Wentz wins a championship. It's just going to be.
Right.
So unless he does that, he's going to be a failure. He's going to be Donovan McNabb if he doesn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're concerned about, well, he's never finished a season. Even in college, he was hurt, right? So to give him that kind of money, I don't know what their choice was. I think, I hate the Eagles, but I don't know what else they could have done other than to kind of give him that type of contract. I thought it was smart to give him 4 years instead of five or six. But that's a lot of guaranteed money to give to him, man.
A lot of guaranteed money. It's over $100 million for what I understand.
107.
107? Okay.
I think second most behind Russell Wilson, I believe.
And this is his fourth year of a five-year contract, right?
Yeah.
So I got to be honest with you, I would have waited to see what he does this year. Yeah. If I was them, but I'm not them, and they've been pretty successful over there, what they're doing. So, yeah. I did laugh. I had a little fun with my Eagle fan friend today, saying, "Oh, is that the going rate for a Tin Man? 107 million?
Nice.
Now, 100 million?
There you go.
You know, and he's, you know, they're very. Let me tell you something. I get the little pulse of the Eagle fans like you, Jerry. Through a couple of good friends of mine that are diehard Eagle fans, yeah. And they're very skeptical themselves of this.
Yeah, there's some that'll open up to you. There's some that are like, no, we're awesome. Yeah. But there's some that'll say, I don't like it. Even the ones I'm friends with have said, I kind of wanted to keep Nick Foles. And I like that they admit that. It's like, good, I know. That's the pulse of all of you people.
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, Jerry, he's going to have to bring this team very far to kind of erase, right, the memories of Nick Foles a little bit.
That's right.
That they got rid of it. They let him walk, you know?
Like I said, man, I hope we're in it when we play them last game of the season and Giant fans dress like ghosts and write on your sheet the ghost of Nick Foles and haunt that team and get in his head and get in their head. And we have to turn the tide, baby. We got to turn this thing around because they've owned us for far too long. So, but anyway, before we get to our Twitter questions are sponsored tonight by the House of Hoodies. Go to www.thehouseofhoodies.com. Use our code Giant Insider or Giants Insider. They put Giants Insider. We corrected them, and now it's Giant Insider. And you'll get a 15% discount off the website. Super comfortable premium hoodies. It's the perfect way to represent your team when it's cold outside and the jerseys go under the coats. It's the perfect way also to sneak a 12-pack of beer or soda into the stadium. So these hoodies pay for themselves the first time you wear them to a Giants game. Again, that's www.thehouseofhoodies.com and the Twitter account is at HOHoodies. We have our Saquon Barkley's on the way, so I'm pretty sad.
I tell you what, Jerry, those hoodies are pretty impressive.
Yeah, they are.
Absolutely. Yeah, they are sharp. I really like them.
And we tweeted it out, and all of a sudden we had our buffoon crew purchasing them left and right, so that was good stuff.
By the way, did you see the one guy who sent the picture of the sticker on his back window?
No, I didn't see
on
it.
On Twitter?
No.
You didn't see it?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
I'll retweet that.
I'm sorry. I don't remember the name of the guy.
I will scour the internet now.
Yeah.
As soon as
I can respond to him. I'm just sorry. I forgot the name of the Twitter handle. But it looked like a Red Explorer or something. But anyway, he says, how do you like this? And it was a buffoon bumper sticker right on his back window.
Oh, that's awesome. I will find that and retweet it. All right, man. Here we go. Unfazed Mara at Emperor Mara. Haven't heard from him in a while. Personal thoughts on Dexter Lawrence, please, Chris.
Very impressive. I expect him to be a starter from first snap on. He's a mammoth of a kid. Gets his hands up very well. You could tell how well coached he was in Clemson, too, by the way. Oh, man. You're going to really like him. This kid's foot is healthy finally after a couple of years. I'm not really feeling great. I think he's going to be a pretty good run stopper, and I think he's going to really surprise you in a pass rushing game.
By the way, when I sent out this tweet, I said, send in your questions for tomorrow's podcast by replying to this email because I'm stupid and, you know, I'm an Generation X. I say things like that. It's wrong. Jeff Schull and Vic P called me out on it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Yes, I meant tweet. Giants at Giants 2019. Huge fan of ours. Good dude here. Here's a good one, dude. After seeing Jones in camp, would you use the 6th pick on him? That's for you, buddy.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Restrictions apply. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Let me give it a little more time. Okay.
Yep.
Let's see him in training camp. Let's see him in preseason games. But for so far, what I'm seeing is that, yes, I would definitely consider it. Yes. Yep. I went from absolutely not to, maybe. So we have to give that a little more time, but
that's fine. Good answer. Ed Migliaccio. Definitely.
My cousin?
A relative of yours. Do you guys think they'll keep 4 tight ends on the 53? And he's pointing to Ingram, Ellison, Simonson, and Conrad.
Well, they kept 4 last year.
Yeah.
You know, which was a surprise. I had 3 and a 53. I think me and you had 3 on our 53. Sherman decided to keep 4.
Yep.
So the way it looks, it's going to be between Garrett Dickerson and CJ Conrad. And Conrad kids look pretty good, but this is just short, so we'll see.
Big Blue Thoughts at Big Blue Thoughts, another big supporter of ours. First time, long time, liar. What are your impressions on the progressions of the second-year players from the draft last year and the undrafted free agents from last year? Hernandez, Hill, Carter, McIntosh, LaLetta, Haley, Davis. I'll hang up and listen. You don't have to take all of them, Chris, but anybody that's kind of jumped out at you from last year, maybe improved to this year?
Carter. I think Carter's going to be much improved.
Good.
Hill's going to be much improved.
Love Hill.
You know, I know you're a big – I'm a big B.J. Hill
fan. And you said Ty Davis as well you liked.
Well, Ty Davis was an undrafted free agent last year, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
He's with the ones, bud.
That's crazy.
He's been with the ones the whole weekend.
He's with the ones starting ahead of Goodson or what?
Yeah, Goodson.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jerry. Yeah, he's with the ones ahead of Goodson.
Yeah, that was a dumb question. Like, he's going to be ahead of Ogletree. That was stupid on my part.
I guess he could have
been on the outside, too.
This is the – I mean, we've all under this impression right now that this is Tate Davis's job to lose in training camp.
Yeah.
So they like his athleticism, Jerry, more than Goodson.
Good stuff. Lisa from the old neighborhood, Chris, at So Bad Six. Question, guys. With Daniel Jones' ability to run, do you think the Giants might imitate the Saints' play at quarterback? Football is a copycat league. Your thoughts?
They may imitate what play?
Well, the backup for the Saints.
Oh, the Tyson Hill?
Yeah.
No. Tyson Hill is a little more physical. He's not a number six overall pick. You know what, Lisa? You're 100% right. This is a copycat league, and you'll see teams trying to do things like that now that the Saints did it with. But no, not with Daniel Jones. He's the future franchise. Tyson Hill, whatever the heck his first name is not the future franchise quarterback for the Saints. Even though Jones is an athletic freak, and he really is, the kid is unbelievable.
Yeah.
His athleticism, Jerry. But no, I don't expect that, Lisa, at all. No.
Yeah, I guess you got to be careful, right? You can't. I would expect Dungy maybe to do that. No, more than Jones.
If he makes, yeah, I guess so. This kid's been hurt. He's got a little bit of a back issue, right? We haven't even seen him.
But he's
yet,
that
you know?
Like he's an undrafted.
But he's that type of kid. Yeah. Obviously, they're thinking that because they have him listed as a tight end on a roster. You know, so we'll see when he gets healthy what they do with him.
Dylan Rivera at drivera2267. Who would you say was the most pleasant surprise of minicamp?
Darius Slayton.
Nice.
I like the kid, but he took it to another level in training camp.
Good stuff. Anthony Delmonico at It's Tony D, another longtime follower. First, he was hoping that you would do the Victor Cruz salsa dance in honor of our 80th podcast last week. meanwhile... I don't know the answer to this. Is Daniel Jones going to keep number 8 permanently? I have no idea.
Oh, I really don't know.
I think the House of Hoodies think so because they're selling number 8 Jones. So.
Yeah. I don't know what Jones is going to do yet with that.
Yeah. All right.
They have to cut LaLetta first.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which is coming. No, I'm like.
No, you you think if there is, I mean, out of the guys there, I mean, he's the most likely. They love Tanny, you know?
And Jerry, Teddy's throwing the ball over the lot, too, in his OTA.
The one practice I saw that he had the best day.
Yeah, I mean, he's throwing the ball over the lot. He looks really good in his OTA. And I know Sherman really likes him. So, yeah, Lilletta's in trouble, man. But we'll see.
He's in trouble, but we'll see. That's awesome. Big Blue at Big Blue GMN 1986. Nice name. Is the competitiveness between the offense and defense the result of mediocrity to poor talent on both sides? Or are these players going to pleasantly surprise the fan base? I don't think it's poor talent. I think it's young talent, if anything.
Yeah, they're going to pleasantly surprise a lot of people.
There you go. That's such a good answer, Chris. Mm-hmm. John Panic, no, we can't do that. He says, if Eli overthrows his receivers, can we start saying he emailed them? No.
He what?
He emailed them.
Emailed?
It's kind of funny.
That's pretty good.
It is good. Kyle XY at K cashed out. How much do you think McIntosh will rotate with the other ends? Seems like he hasn't got much of a chance due to being injured last year. Would like to see him contribute. Hashtag buffoon crew.
Well, he is going to contribute. He's in a rotation right now, and you will see him in a rotation this summer. Here's and there's no set defensive ends here. This is interchangeable. BJ Hill could be on a 5-1 play. He could be on a 1 the next. That's the way Betcher does it. Everybody moves around. I've seen Lawrence on the 1. I've seen Lawrence Shaden. I see Lawrence on the 5s. I see Lawrence on the three, and he's in his mini camp. That's the way it's going to be. So there's going to be no set. Okay, this guy's a defensive end, and that's it. No, it's very interchangeable in Betch's defense.
I love this question from Big Blue VCR, who has, I think, every clip available of every Giant game. It seems like anytime we mention something, he's like, I got that, and he sends it out. The Giants have started 0-2 or worse 5 of the last 6 years. Mm. How important is it this year to get off to a fast start with a new group / culture and avoid here we go again? I'll hang up and listen to your retort. Oh, my God. From your lips to God's ears, Big Blue VCR. If we start off 0-2 again, the panic will set in. You can't refer to 07 ever again. No Giant fan should ever do that again. I don't want to hear it. They can't start off 0-2. They got to be at least 1-1. I think most Giant fans will say, they'll look at the schedule and they'll think, all right, Dallas is going to be tough. Not saying they're conceding anything, but that's a tough game. You cannot start off 0-2 again. Absolutely not.
Yeah, because that means you lost to Buffalo at home.
Yeah, come on.
And that'll set some panic in, and you'll be hearing Daniel Jones questions. And it will not be good for Eli Manning unless he plays lights out. It's just the defense can't get any stops. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want to start. You never want to start 0-2. In this scenario, if you start 0-2, it means you lost to Buffalo at home. And that's not going to be good. I'm not saying Buffalo's not going to be improved, but you don't want to lose to Buffalo at home. First game of the year at home, first home game of the year. So yeah, no, the panic will start, and the questions will be Daniel Jones questions. Will start if that happens.
Chris, this is a funny one,
yes,
man. Need more content at Bluebeard Sears. Bluebeard Sears. Why do all the beat writers' Twitter updates from practice make it seem like they're all at different practices?
No, I don't know.
I thought, because we were talking about that before, right? Like, there's some guys
that think
his arm's dead. I just think that's a funny question. I don't know, man. I'd go with Chris Bisignano. That's my advice. Need more content because... He calls me and he's like, Jared, last year he's like, Flauletta's got no arm. I don't know what they saw in this kid. This year he's like, Eli and Jones are slinging it around the field. Slayton's good. Cornerbacks look great. So I go with Chris Bisignano at Giants Insider, guys. So I don't know what to tell
folks,
you.
Folks, I don't know why. Sometimes people just see different things. Sometimes people see some things they want, they're desperately hoping to see. hey, listen, Jerry, I've been watching sport a long time. I think I could pretty much tell what's going on.
Yeah.
You can read the daily, check that. You can read the Post and New York Post out here in New York and other papers. They pretty much verify what I tweeted the day before.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess some, it is what it is. Yeah.
I think it's funny. We are homers in the sense that we root for the Giants, but I think we're pretty honest with our assessment of how they look. I think that's the best way of putting it. This is a funny name. Gettleman's Funny Bone at Giant Dreaming. We gave our thoughts on Trent Williams already, bud. Derek at D Wins. All right, guys, you're Dave Gettleman. It's January 2020. Giants just went 9-7 and missed the wild card. Oh, God, Derek, you're high. This whole thing is just crazy, but I love it. Eli completed 66% of his passes for 4,600 yards, 29 touchdowns, and 12 picks. Who's your starting quarterback the following year? I don't know, man. Flip a coin. Daniel Jones. I don't know. I have no idea. Mm. I love the question.
That's a pretty interesting question, because I don't know what they would do then. I really don't. That's a pretty good year. Probably be Eli again. And I know you don't want to hear that, but I hate to say it, but no, if he has a big year like that.
I love this. Dan Houseman, very creative. For Chris, it's Bisignano Foley. So
what?
Basically what he's saying is, for Chris, is it Bisignano the way I say it, or Bisignano the way Trina says it? Related question. related question. Is it Saquon from Trina, or Saquon, the way the rest of the world says it? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, it's Saquon.
I know. She says Saquon. I know that.
Does she?
Yeah, she does.
I don't even realize it.
No,
okay.
I've noticed it every time. It's funny.
No, it's Saquon. Yeah. And Foley's right the way he says my name. And actually, a lot of people say like the way Patty says it too. So it doesn't matter there.
Nice job, Dan, making us laugh.
Saquon. I didn't realize that.
He spelled it Saquon. Oh my
God. I gotta mention that to Patty next time I see you.
Oh my God. Too early to say about CJ Conrad, but they seem to like his athleticism.
Excuse me.
Sorry, Roby. The Hotheads podcast. Very curious how you gents line up on Eli Manning making it to the Hall of Fame. I think he's in. I don't think he'll get in first ballot, but I think he deserves to be in. When you play the game of your life twice and make the throws of your life twice to beat the 18-0 Patriots. Yes, the defense had a lot to do with it, but that second one, come on. Give me his yardage. You want to say he compiles? Fine. He's a compiler. He's number, what, 5 or 6 overall in yardage? Two-time Super Bowl MVP? Yeah, he deserves to be in. I don't know if he's a first ballot, but he deserves to be in. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and you know what, Jerry? When they talk about those playoff runs with the Giants and Eli, a lot of people like to talk about that man Manningham catch and all that, and justifiably so, right? But I got to be honest with you, bud. When I think about those two playoff runs, I think about the Green Bay game, and I think about the 49 game in 11. The Green Bay game in Lambeau when it was 40 below.
Right.
And Eli was winging it all over the field, right? And, of course, the 49er game in 11, the championship game, where he took a, you know, Rocky or Balboa, not to annoy you with the Philly, Jerry, type beating.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks. did he have a cheesesteak with Cheese Whiz before the game, too?
He caught a Rocky Balboa type beating and kept coming. So I think a lot of other things besides those two great throws in the Super Bowls. The answer to the question, yes, I do think, like you said, Jerry, he's not a first ballot, Eli, but he has compiled Hall of Fame type numbers, and I think he will get in.
Interesting question from Robbins Exum at Juki News, who is really impatient with us with the podcast. It's so funny. Like, a podcast coming out? When? Let's go. And, like, personal messages us, not just tweets at us. It's hilarious. Which player from the 2008 team would be of greatest assistance to this year's Giants? I know mine. I got mine.
The 2008 team?
Yeah, that was probably the best team they had. I know which one I'd pick.
Go ahead.
Justin Tuck.
Mm.
Because he was Strahan that year. People forget how dominant he was. He was incredible that year.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with you now, man. Maybe Plaxico, too, because he was that big dominating receiver until he shot himself. You know, but yeah, I like Tuck. We could really use that guy. Gets the double-digit sacks. Yeah. I'll go with Tuck, too.
Frank Ciotto, another relative of yours. For Jerry.
Wow.
Name two quarterbacks to wear 10 besides Eli off Frank. You're going to have to get up earlier than that, buddy. Fran Tarkenton, Kent Graham, thanks for coming. For Chris, which player has the potential to explode statistically this year? By explode, I mean his 2009 stats bear no resemblance to his 2018 stats.
Hmm. Well, you know, we can't. Saquon had great numbers, so I expect him to be even better. So we're not going to go there with Saquon. I mean, Saquon. No, we're not going to go there with Saquon. Evan Ingram. If Evan stays healthy, I think his numbers explode.
I agree with you 100%. I'm not even going to try and change the answer. That's spot on, buddy. Vin at Chip Tufus, we love you, but we have no idea which rookies will make the final 53. All of them. All of the draft picks, probably. Ben, our boy Ben, who gave us the most sparkling iTunes rating ever. I mean, the things he said about me, I was like wiping my eyes because I had tears of joy coming down my face. At Giant Fan in Green Bay. We know about Slayton's inconsistent hands. He drops some. See, look, Ben pays attention. Made some nice catches. You mentioned Tate catches everything. Which wide receiver seemed to catch the ball really well, especially in traffic? And which wide receivers have had a few drops? Thanks. Hashtag I believe in Eli. Oh, yeah, he does. Him and Barb are hurt. They must have stock in Eli Manning's career. Hashtag Gettleman Shermer 2020.
Best receiver in traffic is Golden Tate, the Notre Dame.
Yeah.
The Golden Doma.
Of course.
And Alonzo Russell's had a few drops. Slayton did in the OTAs a couple weeks ago. He was much better in a minicamp. A guy who's had some drops in the past, Shep, hasn't had any this offseason. So that's positive, man.
Good stuff. Mr. Glass Half Full, who has stood out most at wide receiver 3, Latimer, Fowler, or Coleman?
It's all even right now.
All right.
Yep, it's all even. You know, just when I'm about to bury Benny Fowler.
Oh, he had a good practice the other day.
Yeah, just when I'm about to say, I look at the roster, I start thinking about my 53, Jerry.
Yeah.
And I start, what are we going to do with Fowler? What is he? And then he'll go out, I look in front of me, he'll make a great play, you know, and he'll make a catch. Like you said, Jerry, you mentioned this a few times. I don't know what it is with Benny Fowler, but Eli seems to like him.
Yeah. No, he does.
Eli hits him.
Well, he saw it last year.
Eli hits him in practice.
This is when he just picked him up. I'm like, who the hell is Benny Fowler? And why is he like throwing him? It was just hilarious. Like, you have all these other receivers. You got Saquon out of the backfield. And I can't. That's so funny. And then you have Benny. He's throwing this guy, Benny Fowler. I don't know. Whatever. Good.
I don't know what it is. He connects with Benny Fowler, man. Even in practices, he seems to connect with Benny Fowler. So.
Ben Husband at Ben Husband. I guess we'll call him Big Ben because he's ringing from England. If the secondary is dominating, should we be excited by that or worried about the quarterbacks and wide receivers? I'm ringing in from England. It's costing a lot, so I'll hang up and listen. Nice job, Ben.
Well, I'm not going to say they're dominating. They've played well. They've got the better of the play one practice, and then the next practice, the offense is beating them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go to dominate. They're not dominating, but they've had good practices, you know, where they've showed good coverage skills. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. Don't forget, these are kids, man. You know, these are young guys back there. Like the first day of the minicamp, the defense got the better of the receivers. The second day, the receivers got the better of the secondary, you know? So, they're not, you know, we're not going to put them in that dominating class yet. And what was the tail part of that question, Jerry?
I don't remember. I moved on to the next one.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Or you're worried about the quarterbacks and wide receivers if the secondary is dominating.
No, I'm not, I'm not going. We're not at that stage yet.
We got two more. Anatoly Pavlov. Sounds like a left
winger.
Sounds like a left winger for the Red Wings.
For the old Russian squad.
Anatoly Pavlov, goal! Yeah.
And a goal by Pavlov!
Saquon, this is a good question. I like these hypothetical, this will never happen question. It's fun to answer. Saquon catches a pass out of the backfield and Lawrence Taylor's waiting for him in the flat. Who wins that one-on-one battle?
Wow.
I don't know. I think it's kind of like if Ditka fought Ditka, and it was like the old Saturday Night Live skit, I just think the stadium would explode. I don't think you could have that type of force meeting the other four. I don't know. I have no idea. I guess I give the nod to Saquon in the open field.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough. You're talking about the greatest defensive player ever.
Yeah.
Against a... if a kid stays healthy, probably a future Hall of Famer in the flat. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to say Saquon. And Aaron Giant is going to get on me. Go ahead. Go for it. Let's go. I'll take it. And the last one. Son of Pegasus. At Son of Pegasus. These names are awesome. If you had to play one must-win game next week and wanted to choose a quarterback solely on their performance so far, how would they rank? How do they rank? Same question, but if you had a year before the game... forget about the history legacy. I go by clutch. I mean, that's a good question. I would go by ability to win in the clutch, where they are in their career. Like, if I had to win one game next year and I could shoot, if I could, like, get in my DeLorean and gun it to 88 and go back in time at a certain point and take any quarterback, I guess I would go. I still go Joe Montana in like, 88. And because I know you could go Brady, you could go, you know, Eli in 07, but like Montana played against such good defenses in that day. Like you had the 85 Bears, the 86 Giants, you had the Redskins teams, and it just seemed like that era was loaded with defense. I don't know, man. The criteria I'd go by is clutch ability, and then also just you have to be good. You know, you can't just not just some kind of fluke thing. So I'd go Joe Montana based on his ability and clutchness, if you will.
Yeah. If it had to be that one real clutch game you needed, I would probably go with Montana myself, man, because he was clutch so many times in big situations. The only time he really was when the Giants smacked the crap out of him a couple of times. You know?
Remember, like, even after all those games the Giants beat the crap out, I remember the 88 game, like it was like week two, and he threw a bomb, and Mark Collins got cut off by Kenny Hill.
No, I don't remember that.
It was like an 85-yard bomb, and it hit Jerry Rice, and Collins still could have caught him. Look it up after this. It's disgusting. And Kenny Hill, who I did like, came over, and he took Collins out, and Jerry Rice just, like, jogged 40 yards with no one around him. Anyway, Thanks for bringing it up, whoever asked that question. Son of Pegasus.
Well, I don't think the person who asked that question was thinking about the 88 game.
I know, but this is the thing.
Touchdown reception from Montana. But go ahead.
It was like 85 yards or something stupid. Like McConkey was waving the towel. Everybody was going nuts. It was a foreshadow of things to come that year with disappointment and.
Hey, Jerry, could I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
I was talking about this with Dave Klein, a longtime Giant writer the other day. Why isn't Lenny Marshall in the Ring of Honor?
You know, that was an article I saw somewhere. I don't know, because if O.C. Manure is going to be in there, and I like O.C., you got to have Leonard Marshall in there. There's guys that they have missing that aren't like cusp guys, like guys that really should be, like John Mendenhall. I wrote an article on that.
Yeah.
Leonard Marshall should be in. There are guys that – Spider Lockhart. You know, there's guys that are missing that.
Come on,
John Maron, Steve Tisch, let's go.
It's so weird because Dave Klein has forgotten more about Giants football than I know by far.
Yep.
And he doesn't have an answer for me. And he was like, Chris, I have no idea. We're all trying to figure it out.
He's like third all time, I think, in Giants sacks, I think.
Yeah. Pretty strange. I just thought, you know, we'll talk about the 80s and the 49ers. It reminded me of Lenny when he destroyed Montana in 90, you know.
Nothing against Tuffy Lehmans or Arnie Weinmeister. But if they're in, Leonard Marshall has to be in, right? Yeah. I mean, like, no offense to the 70-plus-year-olds who are listening to this podcast, all five of you. But, you know, there's old Giants where it's like, okay, come on, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
So anything else?
I agree. No, that's it, man. That's it. OTAs next week, four of them. I'll be at one of them. Media has access to one of them. And that's it. And then we're off for like a month and a half, and then we roll with the training camp, bud.
What about Fordham?
What?
OTAs what? What did you say?
There's four OTAs next week.
I'm sorry. I thought you said OTAs Fordham. I was like, oh, they're at
no,
why are
no,
they at Fordham?
No, there's four OTAs next week. I'll be at one of them. The media has access to one of them. And then we kick up like a month and a half later, man.
Oh, good stuff, man. And all right, buddy. All right, everyone. If you want to order a copy of The Giant Insider or a subscription, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to magster.com for a digital sub. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. Download the app. That's in the app store. All right, buddy. Thanks as always. Great time.
Thank you, man.
Great questions, everyone. Again, Media Captain, House of Hoodies, thanks for sponsoring us. And remember, most importantly, Sundays are Giant Days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.